Let us pray together. Merciful and loving and kind and holy Father in heaven, we would honor and glorify Thee here this evening, Father, with this flesh. We hold Thee as the true and the living God, and besides Thee, there's none else. We hold Thee, Father, as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we hold, Father, that He's the sent one, the obedient one. He is the gospel, Father. And how we thank You here this evening. Those of us that's gathered here together, we speak in one voice, Father, that the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, is our only hope. Bless us here, and may all that's said and done be for the glory of Thy blessed name. Amen. Here in this 10th chapter and the 13th verse, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the next verse says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, the sum and substance of what I've read leads me to say that the message of the preacher is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must hear it. They must have ears to hear, and a will and a desire to respond to the living God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The preacher's beauty is not in his person, but what he preaches, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his beauty. And he says in verse 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Now, most people lay claim to something of what they are and what they do as their hope of salvation or their hope of heaven. They lay claim to their character or reputation or what they've done in the past and what they hope to do in the future or how they act in their family and this and that. But the claim is not a valid claim. The claim of God concerning salvation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we trust. That's who we believe in. He only is our hope. If we have no hope in Him, all other hopes will perish. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. It says He's the only potentate. It says He's the Lord of Lords. It says He is the righteousness of His Father's glory. It says His name is Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord bless us.
I want to talk about what Brother Scott has just brought up. I want to preach tonight on the subject of the message of salvation. That's what I've entitled this. in the book of Acts, chapter 10, picking up where we previously left off. The Lord, as we had looked in the last couple of services, had prepared the object of His mercy, the man Cornelius. The Lord had also prepared the means of bringing the message to Cornelius, that is, a preacher, what Brother Scott was just reading about. How are they going to hear without a preacher? God has been pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has purposed for Cornelius and Peter to cross paths. And you that have been called out of darkness, He did the same thing to you, providentially. The reason that the Lord would do this is because He chose to do that. Nothing by accident. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, the God-ordained means of calling sinners out of darkness, this is the way that the Lord has revealed that He calls men out effectually. It's through the preaching of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God of salvation, the preaching of the gospel. Well, I got to thinking about that. Everybody says they're preaching the gospel. Everybody's saying, well, we'll preach, it's going to be a gospel message tonight. Well, if it's a message of God, that's the only kind there is. But not everybody's preaching the gospel. Now, you know that. Now, Peter was sent by God through the means of some men that came over and said, with Cornelius, our boss, our friend, has sent us to get you. And you say, well, it was the three men. No, God sent them. And they told Peter, we need you to come over because God sent an angel and told Cornelius that we were to go get you and that you were going to come and you were going to tell us something. And so Peter gets some fellows with him and they go over to Caesarea, to Cornelius' house. Peter preaches at Cornelius' house the message of God. And when he preached, what he preached was absolutely the essential message of the gospel. He didn't waste any words. He didn't mix words. He preached the gospel. And what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to look tonight, beginning in the 34th verse through verse 43. Now, I plan to go ahead and go through verse 48. But in those verses, those 10 verses, every verse just absolutely hammered forth that which absolutely must be set forth when the gospel is preached. 10 things that Peter said, and every one of them, Freddie, just hammered it. 10 things. And in these 10 things, you take these 10 things that are set forth, and without these 10 points right here, let me say it like that, man's missed it. He hasn't preached Christ. Let's look at them. Here's my first point. Number one, when the gospel is preached, it is set forth that Almighty God is sovereign in salvation. Now, you know that, so. That is the first, I mean, right out of the chute. God is sovereign in salvation. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." That is, God is not partial when it comes to the salvation of men. The Lord's mercy and compassion. What did God say? Look at Romans 9:15. This is what this Peter said. God is not a respecter of person. He's not partial. Romans 9, verse 15 and 16 says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." You know what that says? God's not a partial God. He's not a respecter of persons. He said, "I'm going to have mercy on whomsoever I will." God's sovereign. He does as He will. All men are lost in trespasses and sins. And I'll tell you, race or social status or education doesn't matter one iota. God has a people. Out of every tribe, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every nation, God has a people that He has everlastingly loved and chose before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Almighty God is sovereign. He told Peter, when he lowered down that sheet in that vision, that trance, He said, "Peter, take, kill, eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that's unclean." And the Lord said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common, defiled." Don't you call it. If I've cleansed it, God's sovereign. When the gospel is preached, that's the first thing we know. Almighty God is the boss. He is the sir. He's the master. So the message of the gospel declares that salvation is of the Lord. That's the first thing we know. That's what Peter said. I perceive God's no respecter of persons. Secondly, here's the second thing when the gospel is preached. The gospel sets forth what Almighty God will accept. Look in verse 35. Peter says, "But in every nation, he that feareth Him," now look at this, "and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." Now, the Scripture sets forth that Cornelius was a devout man. That is, he was a dedicated man. And one that feareth God, that is, we looked at what that meant, one that absolutely sought after God as he was taught in the Jewish synagogue. He was doing the best he could. Men always do. They always do. In any religion, any false religion, men are doing the best they can. Devout. But you listen to what Peter says. He says, "In every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness." He that is employed or has acquired is what that word worketh means. He that is an acquirer of righteousness. And who are those that worketh righteousness? Well, certainly not those whose righteousness are as filthy rags. I mean, all men do the best they can, but those who have been washed and cleansed, the Lord told Peter, He said, "Don't you call common what I've cleansed." Not what's cleansed itself by its own free will, not that. But those that are robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sin has been purged at Calvary by their substitute, by the substitutionary death
of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have absolutely been cleansed by Almighty God. Their sin made His. His righteousness given to them, imputed to them. And how do we know those who worketh righteousness? How do we know those? Peter said, in every nation, he that fears Him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Almighty God. How do we know? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 10. Ephesians 1, 10 to 13. Paul says, Ephesians 1, 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's talking about the Father. He was the first one who trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, or the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How do we know those who worketh righteousness, those to whom the Lord's righteousness have been imputed? How do we know? They believe God. They believe the gospel. They trust the sovereign Savior of this universe. This is the message of God's holiness. Thirdly, when the gospel is preached, it is a message, though preached in all of the world, because the Lord said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. But when the gospel is set forth, it is set forth in particular to a people of God's choosing. Peter says in verse 36, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. We stand and we preach the gospel and we tell all men, repent. Change your mind. Change your mind how you think. Do you know those that have their minds changed is those that God gives a new heart. Those that Almighty God gives a new spirit. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You tell them Almighty God is sovereign. Almighty God has a people. Almighty God's going to call His people out of darkness. If the Spirit of God blesses that message to your heart, you'll come. You will. This message is in mercy and grace to the sheep. This message is not a message to the world. This is what we're doing. We're going into all the world and we're preaching the gospel because we don't know who the sheep are. I don't know who they are. God has a people. And the Lord is going to call those people out. He hasn't told me who they are. Now, there's some evidence of some sheep here. I don't doubt that for one second. But I don't know. I don't know who they are in particular. Look at John 17. John 17, 6. John 17, verse 6. When we say the gospel is preached in all the world, but it's a message to the particular people of God for their comfort. This message is not comfortable to those that are still in darkness and sin. They hear this. They just, you know, like I say, they look at their watch. You know, they say, well, he's, you know, almost done here, I'm sure. But to God's people, they hear this, and this message has a sound of truth, solid, and it's right. That's right. That's right. Look at John 17, verse 6. The Lord's praying. He says, I have manifested thy name, who? Unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they've received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. This message is for a particular people. Who? Those that God has given the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father gave it before the foundation of the world. And we're preaching the gospel. And God will call out His sheep. We know they will. That's the evangelistic approach. You preach the gospel because God has a people. This is a message that we know gets results. He said, my word's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which I've sent it. This is a message of reconciliation between Almighty God and men by the man, Christ Jesus. When the gospel is preached, it sets forth that Almighty God has a people. It's going to call them out. Fourthly, this gospel, because it is preached in all the world, leaves men without excuse. Verse 37, that word, Peter said, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Romans chapter 1, I quoted the 16th verse. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. When the gospel is preached, this is so. It leaves men without an excuse. Men will hear this, and they'll say, ah, no, I don't believe that. You have no excuse. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Acts 17:30 says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All that die in unbelief are rebels against God, because God told all men, repent. A man dies in unbelief. Why does he die in unbelief? Because he doesn't want to believe. He just doesn't want to. Men are without excuse. Repent. Think differently. The Lord said in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To hear the truth of the gospel, God's sovereign. God will accept righteousness. Almighty God has a people. A man that refuses the gospel is lost. To hear the truth of the gospel and to refuse to bow to Christ as He has set forth in that gospel is to leave a man totally without excuse. Fifthly, this is the message of Almighty God concerning His Son. When the gospel is preached, the gospel is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 38. Peter said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The false religions of this world, they preach morality. They preach social reform. They preach prosperity. God wants everybody to be rich. The way to get rich is to sow your seed faith, or faith seed. I never can remember which one goes first. They always have an address to send it to. If you want to be wealthy, if you want to be healthy, if you want to be somebody, join up with us. You need to help us out, though, because if you don't, this ministry is not going to make it. That's what they say. We need your support, and I got to hear from you by this weekend. Let me tell you this. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not faltering. And Almighty God is going to maintain His body. Almighty God is going to call His people out. God Almighty reigns. He rules and reigns in this earth, in heaven, in earth. Everything is under control. God's church is not going under. Don't you bet for one second that God is not going to sustain His people. He will. This message is concerning His Son. The gospel proclaims who Christ is. That's what Peter said. Look again in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Who is He? He's the Anointed One. He's God's Christ. He's God's salvation. He's God's Lamb. He's the Anointed of God. That's who He is. What did He do? That's the second thing we know concerning Him. I'll tell you what He did. He went about, the Scripture says, doing good. Finishing the work. He said, I do only always those things that please My Father. That's what He did. Healing, Peter says, all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing spiritually. All His people, all His sheep, those that He laid down His life for by the shedding of His own blood. And where is He now? I tell you where He is. God was with Him. God was with Him. Where is He now? Peter says, God was with Him. I looked up the word with. With. I thought, you know, He says, God was with Him. The word with means hereafter. That's what it means, hereafter. God was hereafter with Him. Where He is, that's God. The Lord God Himself. Peter said this is who He is, this is what He did, and this is where He is now. He with God. Almighty, seated in the heavenlies, our great High Priest, ever living to make intercession for us, ruling, reigning at the right hand of God. Where is that? Where His throne is. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The message of the gospel is concerning God's Lamb. When the gospel is preached, the sovereignty of Almighty God, the righteousness of Almighty God, the particularness, that's what I'm trying to say. Particular. God has a particular people. Men are without excuse. It's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Sixthly, this is the message of God's beloved Son in whom God is well pleased. It's the message of Christ, the one in whom God is well pleased. Look at verse 39. Peter says, we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. God is pleased with His Son. The message of the gospel sets forth that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son. That message also proclaims that God's well pleased with him. He accomplished what God sent him. The Lord didn't do this work of obedience in a secret way. Secret, no. Acts 26:26, Paul preaching says, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." We're not hiding anything. Not absolutely hiding anything. We are freely proclaiming that Almighty God is pleased with his blessed Son. The Lord Jesus Christ walked in this earth in absolute obedience to his Father. Peter said, "We're witnesses of all the things that he did." All the things that he did, both in the land of the Jews, that is Judea and Galilee and Jordan, and in Jerusalem, in the metropolis of Jerusalem itself. He says, "We're witnesses of his faithfulness. We saw him. We watched him." But I'll tell you what else he did. He was obedient in his walk, in obedience to the law, in faithfulness to the law. And also, he was faithful in his substitution. Peter says, "Whom they slew and hanged on a tree." We're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. He walked this earth. We watched him. We saw him. We heard him. He obeyed his Father. And they hanged him on a tree. They slew him. The Jews' desire was to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. That's what Acts 2:22-23 says. Peter says, "You took him with wicked hands and you crucified him." The obedient. He hung openly before Almighty God, earth. It was an open thing. He accomplished the redemption of his people. God was pleased. This message sets forth that the Lord Jesus Christ was God's faithful servant. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Seventh point. This is the message of the resurrection, of the accepted substitute, and also the justification, the justifier of all for whom he died. Look at verse 40. Peter said, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." Look at Acts 2:24. Turn back a few pages. I tell you what we'll do. Let's just read verses 22, 23. I'll read the verses that I didn't read a moment ago. Acts 2, verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now listen to this. "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." It wasn't possible to hold him in the pains of death because of who he is. If he is merely a man, if he's only a man, he could be held in death. He could be held in the pains of death. He died for sinners, and the penalty was paid. As a man, he died. But it was not possible to hold him in the pains of death. Why? Because he's God. Do you see that? It's because of who he is. For you that believe, his resurrection is your justification. When God Almighty raised him out of the grave, this is what God said: "I accepted that, Mitch. I accept that substitutionary death." And when God Almighty raised him, Paul says, we were raised with him, justified before God. The penalty has been paid. The wrath of God has been satisfied for all for whom Christ died. You understand that? When He died with our guilt being made His. God dealt with Him, dealt with sin, dealt with justice. It was paid for, paid for, paid for. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. When the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised with Him. Well, Peter says, when God raised Him up and showed Him openly, this is what the gospel declares, God accepted Him and accepted all that was in Him. Almighty God was satisfied. As Christ was delivered up by the Father into the hands of justice, so were we. We died with Him. When He raised, we raised. The Lord Jesus Christ is declared in the gospel to be the obedient representative in walking before God's law and the obedient substitute. The gospel sets forth that Christ is the accepted servant and Lamb of Almighty God. Number 8, this message is the message that reveals God's will, God's power, and God's pleasure in salvation. Verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. This is the message that declares that Almighty God has a chosen people. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. This is God's will. The message of the gospel declares that God has a will in salvation. I will have mercy. I will have compassion. Peter says, even to us, there's the power of God. Even to us, the Lord called us. Peter said, out of darkness. He called us by His Spirit. He called us to Himself. He called and we heard, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. My sheep hear my voice. And those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Peter says, who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. We saw Him. Here was the pleasure of Almighty God to open the eyes of a people. Not everybody. He rose from the dead, but not everybody saw Him for who He is. Oh, they saw Him, but they didn't have eyes to see and ears to hear, to behold the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. Peter said, we saw Him. We ate with Him. Doubting Thomas met together with some of the apostles one night. When I'm told, him said, we saw the Lord. We saw the Lord. Thomas said, I don't believe that. I don't believe you. He said, I'm not going to believe you unless I put my hand in His side. Unless I see where that spear, I saw a soldier put a spear in his side. If I don't put my finger in the nail prints of His hands, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe it. Peter said, after the Lord was crucified, he said, I'm going back to fishing. I was doing pretty good at that, you know. For all this started, I'm going fishing. Well, concerning Thomas, they were all meeting there one night, and Scripture says that the Lord just walked in. He walked up to Thomas, and he said, Thomas, put your hand on my side. Thomas put his hand there and he said, my Lord, my God, I see you. I see you who you are. You're my substitute. You died for me. You put away my guilt. Peter had denied Him for His death. Said he's going back to fishing. He was out there fishing. While he was fishing, the Lord came walking up on the seashore after His resurrection. Peter saw him and said, "It's the Lord." The Lord said to him, asked him, he said, "Peter, you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know, I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." Three times he said that. Third time he grieved Peter. Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." Peter says, and this he says, not verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Peter said, "I was there. I saw him. I saw him. I witnessed him. I was there." Ninthly, this is God's message sent by the Lord Jesus Christ through the agency of preachers who declare His Lordship. Verse 42, Peter says, "He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." The Lord sent His disciples out to preach Him. You tell people who I am. You tell them who I am. That's what preaching the gospel is. It's to proclaim Christ. Who is He? What has He done? Where is He now? Who is this? This is God's salvation. This is the sent message. But this message is never left in question as to its object. Never. When the gospel is preached, listen to what Peter said. "He commanded us to preach unto the people." Now, if that's all he said, that would have been a kind of an open-ended thing. But what did he say? "And to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." The gospel is the declaration of Christ. Eternally has entered into that covenant of Almighty God's grace appointed by God to have all power over heaven and earth. He's the judge of His people, the King of His people, the Lord of mercy, the King of glory, the priest of intercession. He's the judge of His people in the sense that He's acquitted them. The judge acquits, and the judge condemns. He's the judge. In that final day, He'll judge the dead. And He'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Peter says this is what he told us to tell the people. And lastly, point number 10. This message has always been the message of God's preachers from the beginning. The gospel is the oldest message that's ever been preached. Everything else that's come along is all new. This free willism and this Pentecostalism and this Mohammedism and this, all those are new messages. This is the oldest message. This is the message from the beginning. One of the first instances that I can think of, I'm not saying it was the first one that the Lord preached, but the first one I can think of was in the garden. When God killed those animals and wrapped up Adam and Eve, He was preaching substitution, a covering, a shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, this is the oldest message. Look at Isaiah 53. Here's the message. I hear people say, "You know, well, you got this new message." It's not a new message. This message, Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs had carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, yet he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we're healed. Who do you think that's speaking of? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This message is the same message that's always been preached by God's preachers. The gospel is the message of him who never changes. Almighty God. All the types and pictures in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. Christ. That's what the Lord told the two on the road to Damascus, beginning at Moses and all the, to Emmaus. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's what Peter just hammered 10 points right there. Every one of them setting forth the sovereignty of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the glory of Christ, the honor of Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the particular redemption by Christ, the calling out of God's people. And the Scripture says in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. This message was the message that God was pleased to bless. What did Peter do? He said exactly what God told him to say. That's all he said. He set forth the glory of Almighty God. It is not the finesse of the preacher. It's not the character of this. Brother Scott, that's what he was saying. It's the message that the preacher preaches. God blesses what God says. Almighty God is pleased to send forth a message by a preacher. This is the proof. God's word is not going to return void. You know what God's going to do tonight concerning this word? Whatever he's pleased to. He will do it. He'll call out of darkness. He'll encourage. But if he leaves a man to himself, that man's without excuse. Absolutely. The proof to the unbelieving Jews. Now, when I say unbelieving, I'm not saying unconverted. But there were some Jews that were real, real prejudiced, just like Peter. I've never eaten anything, common. I've not, no, Lord. Don't you call common what I've cleansed. And there were some folks that was with Peter that had that same attitude. Verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles it was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they heard them speak with tongues. They heard these men. I don't know who all was there. I don't know what nationality or dialect, but they heard these men preaching in languages that they had never learned before. And they realized something. On the day of Pentecost, we saw God pour out His Spirit on the Jews and the Jewish proselytes that were there. And He's doing the exact same thing for these Gentiles. Had the Lord done something different, they would have said, yeah, well, He didn't do the same for y'all like He did for us. You know what I mean? We were special. They said, wait a minute. He did exactly the same thing for these Gentiles. The Lord was pleased to grant the gift of speaking in these unknown languages to show these Jews that the Lord is no respecter of persons. Almighty God poured out His Spirit on them. And Peter, being taught that God is no respecter, says this, can anybody forbid? Does anybody have a problem with baptizing these people that Almighty God has called out of darkness? Why should these not be baptized that have received the Holy Ghost just like we did, as well as we? And He commanded them to be baptized. Let me ask you this. Could it be that there's a sinner here tonight? A precious thing. I heard Brother Scott say that one time. That's a precious thing, find a sinner. To find a sinner. That's a valuable thing. Why? Because that's the ones that Christ came to save. He said, I came to save sinners, call sinners unto repentance. If a man is ever found to be a sinner, I'm telling you, and God reveals Himself to that sinner got some hope. All right? Peter preached the gospel to these people. We can learn something from listening to this message that this apostle preached to these Gentiles. And these 10 points that set forth absolutely God's message, God's purpose, God's will, and how God blessed it and called a sinner unto Himself. Okay, Gary.